Dr. David DeSteno is a professor of psychology at Northeastern University and a fellow of the American Psychological Association. His new book is Emotional Success: The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. He says there are many books out there that have alerted us to the link between greatness, self-control, and grit, but he feels his new book is the one that is accessible and provides a powerful path to help us value the future more than the present. Again, the name of the book is Emotional Success, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. David DeSteno to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hi, Joe. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first, Happy New Year to you. Very nice to have you on the program. Give us a sense of what brought you to this idea of emotional success, of what gratitude and compassion and pride and all of those things can do to help us be successful.
Sure. Well, you know, as you know, one of the things that underlies success in this life is the ability to delay gratification. That is to kind of value the future more than the present. And you know, grit is one of the big buzzwords these days for achieving our goals, which at this time of year, New Year's, is something I think a lot of people are thinking about. And in my lab, one of the things we've studied a long time are these emotions that help us sacrifice to help other people, things like gratitude and compassion. And what we've been finding is that one way they do that is to make us value the future more than the present. And in that, they can also help us help another very important person to us, and that is our own future selves by increasing our ability to kind of persevere toward our goals.
When you talk about the persevering toward our goals, do we always know what those goals are?
I think we all know the goals that we set out for ourselves, whether it's our career, to be a great athlete, to be a great musician, to complete the whole 30 and lose a few pounds. We know what those are. But there are other goals in life that are just related to kind of enjoying life and having a life well lived, and those are forming, you know, bonds with other people and having important social relationships. You know, David Brooks talks about it as our resume virtues for our career and our eulogy virtues, those that allow us to kind of look back on life and feel like it was satisfying. And to the extent that you cultivate these emotions in your life, gratitude, compassion, and an authentic sense of pride, not arrogance, not only do they help you persevere toward your own goals, those resume ones, but toward those other ones that we kind of take for granted, which is forming important relationships with people.
Many people give us a lot of reasons and a lot of ideas to become successful. There are entire bookstores filled with books on how to become successful. So why is this different? Why is this emotional approach? How is that different?
Sure. Well, if you think about all the bestsellers that line Barnes & Noble, Amazon, most of them focus on are how to increase your willpower, or tricks to develop new habits. All of these are what we call kind of cognitive skills. That is, they rely on you mentally planning what you want to do and trying to control your impulses. So if I want to work hard today, I'm not gonna loaf on the couch. What the emotional side is it's an entirely different view. It looks at emotions as not the problem with willpower and achieving our goals, but as a way to solve the problem. Sure, there are emotions that make you want to just have fun in the moment, but there are emotions that are involved in self-sacrifice and perseverance, things like gratitude and compassion and pride. These are the emotions that make us work hard to help others, and we can use them to help ourselves. And so my argument is, if we cultivate these emotions, what they will actually do is change automatically how much our minds value the future and make it easier to pursue them. And so we have lots of evidence showing that when you experience these emotions, you'll work harder on tasks. You'll make financial decisions that are better in the long term than satisfying a desire in the short term. And so it's an entirely different way of getting there. If you cultivate these emotions, they change what you value automatically. And if you value a long-term goal more, it becomes easier to pursue it. It's less of a struggle.
You touched on this, but I would like to go a little deeper into it. And that is that you use your emotions as a tool to achieve your goals and success. You make the point in the book that this does not only increase your professional success, but social success as well, which it could be argued is equally important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me give you an example. So one thing we know and research shows about people who kind of are very nose to the grindstone, you know, have a lot of grit in the traditional sense, use their willpower to keep focused on their goals. It is true that these people do fail less often. That is, they're better able to achieve their goals because they're really working hard. But when they do fail, it hits their well-being, you know, 120% more than people who aren't kind of so using so willpower and are driven to focus on their goals. And I think the reason is because these folks put all of their eggs in one basket, and they are not building up the social support that is important to help us when we do hit bumps in the road. If you are cultivating gratitude, not only does it make it easier for you to pursue your goals, it makes you more patient, it gives you more perseverance, pride, and compassion too. But while you're doing it, experiencing those emotions, there's a lot of research that also shows it automatically makes us behave in ways that build strong social relationships. And so it's less stressful, so that is, it's better for the body. It's also builds social relationships, which are better for the mind. And so when we hit bumps along the way, we have that social support that is there to keep us going. And it's a more resilient path to success and less succumbing to burnout and stress.
I guess it's silly even to think of them as separate, but because emotion should be a part of your success no matter what, right?
Yeah, it is, but it's. I think the important point that we're making here is, so we all know if we feel compassion for other people, we'll build relationships. If we feel gratitude for other people, we'll pay them back our debts and be seen as more trustworthy, and people will appreciate us more, and pride, et cetera. But the important thing about this is thinking, not only are these emotions helping us build that social side, which I think everybody is kind of aware of, but they also translate into giving us grit. So, for example, we'll do experiments in our lab where we'll make people feel grateful or feel proud, and we'll show that they will persevere longer on tasks. They'll make financial decisions that show more patience for long-term gain rather than impulsive, you know, purchases and wasting your money in the moment. And the idea that these emotions can also give us these resume virtues, right? These skills in solving, you know, like Walter Mischel's famous marshmallow test, right? It gives us an ability to delay gratification. I think that's what's new, right? These emotions give us both, whereas the usual paths that we're told to cultivate success don't.
One of the points that you make in the book, or one of the things you point out in the book, is that a lot of us are lonely. You have statistics in the book that show, as the decades go on, we as a people, as Americans, are becoming lonelier and lonelier.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think it was in 1985. About half of the people, you know, said they had a good friend, and now it's going down. Today, 53% of Americans say they're lonely, especially in their professional pursuits. And I think it's because of the way that we are pursuing our goals. You know, we're in a highly competitive environment, nose to the grindstone, working hard. And my argument isn't that we shouldn't be doing that. It is a very competitive world. But if we are ignoring or worse, suppressing our emotional sides to put everything into this kind of hard-nosed pursuit of our goals, we are going to suffer for that. I mean, for millennia of human history, what underlied success was having strong personal relationships. And even today, we know that loneliness is about as damaging to physical health as is smoking or obesity. We're just not designed to be isolated. And so by cultivating these emotions, what they're doing is helping us build social relationships. So we know that people who exhibit a confident pride are seen as attractive partners. People who are warm and show gratitude and compassion are seen as people that others want to interact with. And so these build in social capital, good relationships that I think keep us healthy and less likely to succumb to the ravages of stress as we pursue those other goals.
About halfway through the book, you write that while any emotion can be problematic if experienced in the wrong intensity or in an inappropriate context, pride is potentially more problematic more than any other emotions because it's the most susceptible to these errors, particularly the halo effect. Talk about some of the errors and how pride can get us into trouble.
Sure. So when I talk about these three emotions, gratitude, compassion, and pride, people always say, pride? How does that fit with the other two? And the reason it does is, you know, what these emotions were designed to do, and then I'll get to the point about pride initially, is to make us willing to sacrifice to help others. So gratitude, we repay our debts. Compassion, we offer to sacrifice to help others so that they'll repay us. Pride makes us willing to work hard to develop skills that other people value. And so pride in general, if we're developing skills that other people value, we'll feel proud about that. We'll get social acclaim of others. But the trick to pride is to remember that it's got to be tied to our actual abilities. It becomes very easy to start thinking, oh, other people like me, I am great. And you start generalizing that maybe you're not proud of one skill, but that you're just, you know, a superior person in all domains. And that's where you can get into trouble, and that's where the downside of pride and hubris come from. As long as pride is based on, you know, your actual skills and the products you make or the things that you do, I think it's a very useful emotion. But you have to be careful to not get carried away to think that you are skilled in more areas than you actually may be, or that you're superior to others. And that's the trick with pride. That doesn't happen with gratitude or compassion. But with pride, you have to be careful, because once you cross that line into arrogance or hubris, it's not going to bring you success. It's going to bring you exactly the opposite.
So you talk about the dangers there that you can get into. That's one that may be hardest to deal with. Which do you think is the hardest to achieve? Is it gratitude to understand that we are grateful to other people?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the trick about gratitude is, I always tell people, gratitude isn't about the past, it's about the future. Most people think, oh, if I'm feeling grateful, it's kind of a weak emotion, in the sense that, you know, somebody had to help me do something or give me something that I couldn't achieve on my own. But the reason we feel gratitude is that we can acknowledge that we did receive help from others, and let's face it, we all receive help from others along our way. And it makes us pay those debts back and show the others that we value it, so that they'll continue to interact with us and form these relationships long term. And it's a very actually empowering emotion, because it builds relationships that will help you for the future. And so I think all of these emotions, people think of them as kind of, you know, weaker emotions, but they're actually very powerful emotions, because they help us be willing to sacrifice and delay our own gratification so that we can achieve goals of helping others or helping our own future selves.
So, being a professor of psychology, how do you feel that therapy fits into this?
Well, I mean, therapy, I think, is useful for people who are facing all types of difficulties in their lives. You know, some disorders are biologically based, others are just problems in life and how we think about things. And from being an emotions researcher, as you hinted at earlier, you know, the trick with emotions are using them wisely. Any emotion expressed in the wrong context or the wrong intensity can lead to problems. Even extreme happiness is something we call mania. And so I think a lot about emotions in therapy is learning how to use the right ones and feel the right ones in the right context and in the right intensities. And when you do that, they can be very adaptive. And so I think, to the extent that individuals want to seek out the help of others, therapists, to guide them in using emotions correctly, I think that can be useful. But for me, what I'm talking about with these emotions are something that I think is not typically thought of in therapy. It's not how do I fix a problematic emotion, but how do I use emotions as tools to achieve my own goals outside of, you know, any type of disorder. And I think that's the part that is important. People talk about this buzzword emotional intelligence, and they usually think about it in terms of understanding what other people are feeling, or with kids in school, helping them to keep themselves calm so they can learn. But there's a whole other side to it, which is using emotions as tools to achieve our goals. And that's this aspect that I'm talking about. So I don't think it's related to therapy in the sense of people having emotional difficulties. I think it's the opposite side, which is, how do we use emotions to actually make ourselves even better?
And I meant it more in the case for those in therapy. Yeah. They can help hone these skills so that they feel these emotions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. There are, you know, I think there's the ability to feel these emotions is quite useful, and a lot of people have problems actually allowing themselves to feel these emotions. And so I think therapy can be useful to help people feel these emotions, but there are also things that, strategies that people can use in their daily lives. You know, in our experiments, we'll do cultivating gratitude by, you know, taking 5 minutes a day to think about what you're grateful for. And it's not always the five big things that we're all grateful for in our lives, because, you know, if you think about the same things every day, they're going to lose their power. But it's thinking about the kindnesses that we have along the way, people giving us directions, holding the door for us, helping us out of a jam. It's having self-compassion for ourselves and not being so critical. You know, self-compassion has been tied to all kinds of success in terms of healthy eating, in terms of decreasing procrastination, achieving our goals. And so I think there are lots of strategies that people can use either through therapy or on their own.
The name of the book is Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.